We're going to read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't take this opportunity lightly, and I pray, Lord, you please help your servant as he preaches your word. I can do nothing, Lord, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you please take the message and apply it to the hearts of the people, and just please help them to see what you would have for them to do. And I pray, God, you please give me the words to say. Help me to say what I should say, and help me not to say what I shouldn't say. Help our pastor, Lord, as he's preaching over at Victory Baptist, and Brother Walker as well. Please send revival there, Lord. Please bless the message. And you got all glory and what's done. Just now, pray, amen. Pastor asked me to preach on Sunday night, and I looked at him with a stunned look on my face, and I looked at the floor, and I said, where's the hole that I can go hide in? And ever since 5 o'clock this afternoon, I've been looking for that hole where I can go hide in. And so we're going to go through the Bible here. We're just going to do a little bit of a Bible study. It's going to be a bit negative in the beginning, but I just want to show you some stuff. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I do not know how long this message will be. This might be the shortest sermon you ever heard in your life. My first sermon lasted about 30 seconds, so we'll see how this goes. I think it'll be a few minutes longer than that. I've met that far this far, so we're good to go. All right. We're going to talk about the consequences of thoughts. Okay? Our thoughts are very, very powerful things. As Pastor said on Sunday night, your thoughts control your feelings and your feelings control your actions. And that's very, very true. And we're going to look at some consequences of thoughts. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. We know the story. Satan came and tempted them in the garden, first time temptation ever faced a human being. And they fell to that temptation. And the consequences of the immediate consequences was they lost their innocence. Young people, your innocence, and elderly people, your innocence is one of the most powerful things you will have in this life. I have gone and worked at jobs, and many of you have done the same thing, where you look at these people and they are, lives are racked with sin, got all the marks all over them, and you just look at them and you wonder what happened. They lost their innocence at some point. And Brother Morris, you see it in the jail. But Levi, you see it at work. I saw it at Great Dane. Many of you have worked in different places. There is a, every place where you work, there are sinners there. But then there are some places where you work where it's just up at the top somewhere in the next level of wickedness, and you have to deal with that. And those kind of things control your thoughts. They really do. It's really hard not to bring it home. And so you ladies, pray for your husbands. If you're blessed not to have to work out in the workforce, you all need to pray for your husbands that they would be able to have clean thoughts as they deal with that. But Adam and Eve, they lost their innocence and they lost their purity. And it's a very easy thing to do that. The future consequences on humanity, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men without all of sin. And ever since then, we have had to fight this matter of sin. Another immediate consequence was they lost both their sons. Seth was not born at this time. Cain slew Abel, and so they lost him by death. And then Cain fled from the presence of the Lord, left home, went off and dwelt somewhere. And so they lost both their sons because of the sin of Adam and Eve. But Cain himself made a choice. He made a choice. He did not control his thoughts. Lord asked him, why is thy countenance fallen? And Cain got very, very upset at his brother Abel because the Lord had accepted Abel's sacrifice, and jealousy came up. And now, thoughts are not, when we talk about bad thoughts as preachers, we're not just always talking about necessarily the immoral type of, although that's probably the first kind that comes to mind. There's other kinds of thoughts out there. There's jealousy thoughts that Cain fought with and did not defeat. And therefore, he slew his brother. And in Genesis 6:5, look over there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I had made them. It says here very clearly that God judged the world because of their wickedness, but that stemmed from their thought life. And the consequence of that was the flood destroyed the world. Only Noah and his family were saved. The rest of the world was destroyed. And so those are some consequences there. We're going to go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verses 10 and 11. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. The herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot were having strife. They were having a lot of problems. Lot did not have to go as far as he did. He could have just gone a ways farther away, maybe a day's journey or so, and then they would have been fine. He didn't have to go to Sodom, but he saw the well-watered plain of Jordan that was well-watered everywhere, like the land of Egypt. They just came out of Egypt. And that's where Abraham got Hagar from. And so to Lot, Egypt was more like home. He felt more comfortable there. And Sodom was like the Jordan River area there, was like the land of Sodom, what he remembered most. He got a lot of wealth in Sodom, in Egypt. He got a lot of wealth in Egypt, a lot of animals in Egypt. And got servants in Egypt. Now, where do you think all those herdmen came from? All the herdmen. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees with Lot. He didn't leave with all of Lot's shepherds and servants. I'm sure they had some that they left with, but he probably didn't leave with that many. So he probably picked up a lot in Egypt. And so perhaps he was thinking he would be able to get more things there, more benefits for his family. And it's a good thing to want to do more things for your family. It's a good thing. But when your desire to benefit your family out is going to cost you your family, that's not a good thing. He gained his riches, he gained his fame, his position, he sat in the gate. But he lost his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-laws. And he had to flee the city because God destroyed it. There was immorality committed with his remaining daughters. His seed would afflict the seed of Abraham in later centuries, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Only one good thing came out of the Moabites, and that was Ruth. And the rest of that, God wiped off the earth. We'll go to Abraham, Genesis chapter 16. By the way, I will say this. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God. Those were good thoughts. God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham had a good thoughts there, and he believed God. He chose to believe God. And anyone who comes to this church or leaves this church is because they either believed God or they didn't believe God. And so Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and God blessed Abraham greatly because Abraham was a great man. He was a very great man. He had a lot of wealth and a lot of possessions, and that was because he did what God wanted him to do. He was called the friend of God for a reason. I mean, God blessed him greatly. He made a few mistakes, though, the Bible records. Ishmael was not the child of promise. He is not the child of promise. Like I said, that came from Hagar. There were no immediate consequences of this in his lifetime, but the line of Ishmael, the Muslims, are still over there in conflict against Israel, the bloodline of Abraham to this day. And we all make mistakes. And if God wrote another Bible and had me in there or had you in there, what would he have in there about us? I wouldn't want all my sins or stuff to be put in there, but it is put in there for our admonition. And so he lied to Pharaoh about his wife, and the Lord put a plague on Pharaoh. He lied to Abimelech about his wife. And then we go to Isaac, and I did not write down the reference about that one. So we're going to go to David. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. Is this thing up too high, brother? No? Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. David was the man after God's own heart. Now, that does not mean the muscle. That means his mind, his will. He wanted to do what God thought. He wanted to do what God willed him to do. And that's why we have so many Psalms written by David, and how beautiful the Psalms are to help us in difficult times, even the times that David went through, and how they apply to us today and how we can use them. Such great blessing they are, and how much of a blessing they have been to me. Especially even Psalm 51 sometimes, where he got right with the Lord about this very sin. But this led to the death of Uriah, the death of the first child, situation with Tamar by Amnon, the murder of Amnon by Absalom, and then I believe the battle with Absalom, because God said, in the matter of Bathsheba, the sword will not depart from your house. 20,000 men died in the battle with Absalom. That's a big consequence. Also later on, in David's sin in numbering the people, 70,000 died. Consequences of thoughts. We go to Absalom. I talked about him a little bit, but in 2 Samuel 18, verse 14 and 15. Then said Joab, "I may not tarry thus with thee." And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Result of his rebellion. His own choice. His own choice. Back in, I think it was 98. I'm old. It struck me about that when I was in Bible college, and I looked at a little bus kid that I was dealing with for salvation. I'm like, "When were you born?" He said, 2005. I'm like, "Oh my goodness." 2005. My goodness. Y'all missed the 90s. They were great. I'm going to shut up before someone comes up here and slaps me. Back in, I think it was 98, there was 2 young men named Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. How many of y'all remember them? Y'all remember them at all? Columbine High School shooting. I looked it up one time, and they had planned that out for months, for absolute months before they enacted their plan. They had 2 bombs, propane tanks. They were set. One was set below the gymnasium where they also had the cafeteria where 600 students were eating. That one did not go off, and thankfully the other one did not go off either. But there are a lot of kids that were injured on that day. I don't remember if any died or not. But that was a result of not keeping their thoughts right. The police searched their homes. They found all kinds of rock music and heavy metal music and those kind of things. And their influences they were listening to and watching on TV and those kind of things led them to do that horrible crime. Oklahoma City bombing. Timothy McVeigh died over here in Terre Haute. And that was a result. There was a lot of planning that went on that one. Unclean thinking. 9/11, a lot of unclean thinking on many parts with that one. So those are some consequences of having unclean thoughts. Now the negative's done. Now I'm gonna give you a few things here on how to have a clean mind and to think right. We're gonna go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So, one way that's really going to help out a lot, and it's really helped me out a lot, with having a clean mind and controlling my thinking, is avoid sinful things. Avoid sinful things. TV, internet, social media, movies, etc., can all be used as tools for God's glory. We are live streaming right now. That's video. A TV, monitor. We got one out in the foyer here. Using it for our missionary things, whatever it's called. We had a game for our TV when we were a kid. When I was a kid, it was a boxing thing, and it had a little video camera that hooked up to the TV. And what it does, it was a motion sensor. And as you jabbed at the things, the little cartoon characters that were coming at you, you'd knock them out. And they'd keep coming at you, knock them out again. It was kind of fun. There wasn't anything wrong with it. No bad music or anything like that. They're all dressed properly. We cheated on it, though, because we found if you stuck your hand up in front of the camera, they all just kept on getting wiped out. It was great. Saves a lot of exercise there. That's cheating on exercise. That's not right. But what you see affects your thoughts, which controls your actions, which determines your consequences. I'm teaching my daughter. She's 3 years old. When you disobey, you are accepting the consequences. And that, because when she disobeys, she knows what she's going to get. And thankfully, your kids know what they're going to get too. So, just avoid sinful things. I'm not going to go into each of those things. I'll let Pastor do that. So number two, read the Word of God daily. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 19. Let's go to verse 18. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and his statutes to do them. So then begin a verse, and it shall be well. I'm adding words that aren't there. It shall be with him. Keep it with you. Read therein every day. Read the Word of God daily. It helps clean out your mind. There are things that you will see on a regular basis. You can get rid of all the stuff out of your house and whatever else that might cause bad thoughts. But you have to go to Walmart. You have to go to the store. You have to go to work. And you are going to see things out there. And this will help you. Stuff like that when you're... Go away, bug. Stuff like this will help you to maintain a clean mind as you're going from day to day. So avoid sinful things. Read in places, by the way. Read the Word of God daily. I'm going to go to Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 1 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So, third thing here, so you got to avoid simple things, read the Word of God daily, memorize the Word of God. Memorize it. So, you read the Bible daily, you read it in the morning, but oftentimes you can't really take this with you when you go to work. I work at Papa John's delivering pizzas. If y'all want pizza, don't call me because I'm from Terre Haute and your pizza's going to be very cold by the time I get there. But, actually, no. Call Goose Pond and have them deliver. There we go. Goose Pond is far better than Papa John's ever will be. And maybe I'll get a free pizza later. Oh, boy. Memorize the Word of God. I cannot take this thing with me every day physically. I mean, I can stick my New Testament in my back pocket, but I'm not going to be reading it as I'm driving down the road. It's not a very good idea. And don't text while you're driving either, even though I do. But you can take scriptures with you in your mind. You write them on a 3x5 card when you're on a break or something like that. Pull out that 3x5 card. I got some right here in my wallet. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he'll speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. I read the rest of that as I was putting it in. No, I'm just kidding. It will help you. If you memorize the Word of God, it will help you. It will help you make decisions in life. It will help you keep a clean mind. It will keep you on the straight and narrow. It will keep you on the right path that you should go. And it will help you determine what's right and what's wrong. Because if you meet a person, the Bible talks a lot in Proverbs about the strange woman and the strange man. I'm not pointing at you, Brother Morris. I'm just... But the Bible talks a lot about that. And if you have a memorization of the Word of God, oftentimes you will not have the Word of God in front of you when that person shows up. And if you have the Bible memorized about certain things like that, that will help guide you. And when you go off to Bible college, not every person that comes to Bible college is the right type of girl. Okay? There was a girl at Commonwealth, I won't say her name. She was on the tour group for 2 years, a tour group. I got a little bit interested in her, talked to her a little bit, asked her about some things, and come to find out she wears pants when she's at home. 2 years in the tour group for a Baptist college. Just because not everything that glitters is gold. Remember that. And so, memorize the Word of God. Number four, meditate. 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate on the Word of God. Again, this is another thing you can take with you. There have been times when you're going to read the Bible and you don't understand it. You sit there and you meditate on it. If you need to, write on a 3x5 card and think about it throughout the day. There's been times when the Lord has showed me things that I never would have gotten if I hadn't meditated on it. There's questions that people ask out on soul winning that you won't get the answers to unless you meditate on it when you get back home. And along those lines, I'd encourage you when you find things out soul winning, people ask you different things, ask you different questions. When you get home, you may not have the answer at that moment, but when you get home, go study it. Go study it, and you'll have it for next time. And it'll help you out. It'll help you grow, and it'll help the next time that you may have an answer to give to every man that asketh of you. And so, Here's another one, number five, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To show thyself approved. To be approved of God. Samuel was approved of God. He grew in favor with God and man. A lot of people can figure out a way to grow in favor with man, but they cannot figure out a way to grow in favor with God. You grow in favor with man by doing good for yourself, by making yourself wealthy, by increasing your property value and all those kind of things. And that makes you in favor with man. If you're rich and wealthy, boy, they love you. But it is better to be rich with God. And to grow in favor with God and man, if you have to choose between the two, choose to be in favor with God. Study the Word of God. There's many different things in the Bible to study. My wife and I were early married. We grew up in church. She was born in the nursery. I was born in the nursery. And so we had heard all our lives this preaching about modest dress and how you're supposed to dress yourself. Well, we finally took it. I think we were in our second year of marriage. Second year. And we did a study on this thing about biblical dress. And we dug it out. And the Lord showed us exactly where the parameters are for modest dress. Study it. Study it. What about this matter of music? That's a big one. Study what the Lord says about music. I remember I probably could have brought that one tonight, but there's a lot the Bible says about music. If there wasn't much that God said about music, why did he create an angel that was over the music in heaven? There's a very important part in music in our lives. And it affects us. Like I said, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were listening to rock music and rap music before they did that. And it affects them. So go to number six. So we have avoid sinful things, read the Word of God daily, memorize the Word of God, meditate on it, study it. And number six, we're going to go to Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's a consequence of prayer and thanksgiving. You get peace from God. And that's a wonderful thing. But prayer. Yes, we get things from Him. We ask the Lord for things that we need. Build money to pay our bills and food for our house and clothes for our kids. And we ask for those things, and we should. But there's a part of prayer that's not just about asking. It's about fellowship. And being able to fellowship with the God of heaven is an amazing thing. All the great preachers, not all of them were great pulpiteers, but all of them were great men of prayer. You got Lee Robertson. Lester Roloff, all those men, great men of prayer, and they saw great works done because of their prayers, and they had a closeness to God that not many people had. Yes, there is something about the call of God on a man's life, but there is something that you don't get with that call, and that is that closeness with God. Just because God calls you, some people walk away from that. That's not a good thing. Don't do that. But you get close to God, and you get closer to God, and you get closer to God, and you get closer and closer. David was known, like I said, a man after God's own heart. He got so close to God that God could say that about him. Abraham was the friend of God. He got close. And that's why these names stick out in the Bible, because they got close to God. How much of the Bible? I haven't looked. There's a lot of the Bible that mentions David. And all the kings were judged according to David, their father. And David got close to the Lord. Yes, he made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But he was very close to the Lord. And he got close to the Lord in prayer, thanksgiving, and music. Three ways the Lord, there's more, I'm sure. But last one here, number 7. So avoid sinful things. How to have a clean mind. Avoid sinful things. Read the Word of God. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Study it. Prayer. And number 7, serve God. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Anything that you do around here, in the ministries, you are serving the Lord. And the Lord is watching what you do. He's watching how you do it. He's watching your motive in doing it. And my motive. And He watches those kind of things. And there is, I don't know if God's doing it Himself, or if there's an angel up in heaven, but somehow there are records being kept. Brother Luke, this past Sunday, he was handing out little pieces of paper for the little zoo thing out here. He was handing out pieces of paper to kids. The Lord took record of that. It doesn't matter how small it is or how insignificant you think what you're doing is. God takes notice of the little things. If He didn't take notice of the little things, why would He record people's thoughts? The Bible says He takes notice of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He watches those kind of things because our thoughts control our feelings and our feelings control our actions and our actions determine our consequences. You can have an absolutely wonderful life. Yes, life is going to throw hard things at you, but you can have a great life if you think right thoughts and you make the right decisions, you will have the right consequences coming out. Young people, kids, if you obey your parents, children obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I don't know about you, but I want to live a long time. I can't go back and change my childhood. But I can warn some young people who are in their childhood and in their youth now to still obey your parents and honor your parents. And you should do that. My dad told us of a story when I was a kid. A young man he knew named Gilbert Green. Gilbert Green was not one of Dad's friends, but they went to the same school together. He regularly, and from what I understand the story goes, he always rebelled against his parents. Just flat rebellion. Wouldn't do a thing they did. Dishonored them, disrespected them, cussed them out, you name it, the whole nine yards. From the story, the way I understand the story. I think he was about 23 years old when he died. Car wreck. Not good. And you've known other stories of people who were rebellious against their parents and didn't end up well. So, this isn't a chandelier swinging sermon. Not really the most exciting sermon, but I hope you understand there are great and grave consequences for our thoughts. The addict never thought he'd get into that. He just thought he'd pinch once. Yeah. Thought he'd shoot up once. Thought he'd look once, drink once. Yeah. And that was it. Wow. That was it. And now you're dealing with them in jail. Because of one thought. One thought that they did not control. One thought. And we're going to close with this, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. A clean mind is a choice. It's a choice. And we can choose each day as we face different things. What am I going to do with the thoughts I just had? Sometimes thoughts pop in your head and you can just kind of shoo them out and they'll go away and not come back. But then there's some things that come in and you shoo them away, and they come back and they shoo them away and come back, and you just can't get rid of them. And then thoughts of jealousy and bitterness sometimes will creep in, and you can kind of get those things going away. But once it gets down into here, once it takes root down in your heart and your mind, there is something else that happens, and that is a whole nother level of stuff that you got to deal with. You make it easy on yourself right now. Make it easy on yourself. And you can make it easier on yourself by controlling your thoughts, doing what was spoken here today. This will help you have a clean mind. Just because you get rid of one thought, though I will warn you, just because you get rid of one thought does not mean that you're not going to have more problems after that. I have victory once, praise the Lord. Now something else is going to come on. And this thing about having a clean mind is a daily thing. It's a moment by moment thing. But the more things, the more sin you get involved in, the more things you're going to have to fight, the harder you're going to have as a Christian to get your wheels going every day. And that's the voice of experience there. And many could give testimony to that. And I'm hoping that there's someone here today, maybe some young person that would decide, or some other person, anybody, would decide to have a clean mind. And that way you don't have to deal with the junk that comes along with a sinful life. I grew up here. Came here in second grade. Got involved in something before we came here. Affected me for 17 years. Won't say what it was. Sam Jones was a preacher. Before he was a preacher, a lawyer. Between the lawyer and preacher, he became an alcoholic. And he gave testimony. One day he was in a bar and he got saved. Or he was in a bar and saw his condition. And he went to the room, a little room and house there, and some ladies made him some coffee. And he said, for three days and nights, I went through hell. But when the morning came, something happened to old Sam Jones. He got saved. And I can tell you from experience, stay out of sin. Stay out of sin. It will warp your mind. I don't care what kind it is. It will warp your mind. It will warp your thinking process. It will stunt your work for the Lord. You will not be able to do what you could have done had you just kept your mind clean, because it all comes back. The drug pusher, the alcoholic, the music, the pornography, you name it. It all comes back to this matter of the thought life. You all know people who used to be here, people we love and care about and still pray for, and so we should. How'd they get out? It is vitally important that we keep our minds clean. He is watching, and we will reap the consequences. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message, Lord. Pray, God, you please help us to do a work in the hearts of the people. And I pray, Father, you please help me. It's easy, Lord, to preach a message, but I must also maintain and do this, that which I have preached. And I pray, Lord, you please bless us all in our efforts to keep a clean mind. That way we can make right decisions and be pleasing in your sight. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Please bless. In Jesus' name, amen.